This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Miles Welch delivers his teaching entitled Pause for Family Prayer. It is the first teaching from the series Family Dynasty. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. Here you will find many resources, including this teaching in both audio and video formats in the media section. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
All right, how we doing, 12 Stone? That's right, we are in a new series today called Family Dynasty. We're gonna help you build your family into a dynasty, and we are excited about this series because we believe God is gonna use it to transform hundreds of families in the 12 Stone community. So I know that you can only hear the word dynasty so many times before you wanna start talking about America's favorite dynasty, the Duck Dynasty. How many of you are big fans of the Duck Dynasty? That's right. Listen, it's Pastor Kevin's favorite show. That's part of why we're using it in the series. And I gotta tell you, I wasn't necessarily a huge fan of this coming in, but of course he asked me to speak. So I had to begin to explore this family and watch all kinds of Duck Dynasty clips and what have you. And you know what? I became a fan, and I'm kind of convinced I like this family. And whether you believe them or not, or whether you're a fan of them or not, it is clear, and we can all agree, that America loves watching the Robertson family. You know, season 4, which launched in August, the premiere had 11.8 million viewers, making Duck Dynasty the number one nonfiction TV series in cable history. That means that more people are watching the Robertson family than any family in the history of television. There's more pausing, rewinding, fast-forwarding, and playing going on with this family than any family ever. And America's telling us something that we should pause and consider. Because this Robertson family does a lot of things that most families don't do anymore, right? And I'm not just talking about the beards and the camo and the not bathing at all during duck season, right? I'm not talking about that. If you watch this family closely, you will see that they do life together in a way that very few families do anymore. They pray together at the dinner table. They work together. They hunt together. They play together. There's something happening at the core of this family that should challenge us, because they have figured out how to build their family into a family dynasty. That's why over the 4 weeks of this Family Dynasty series, as we dive into biblical principles of how to build our family dynasty, we're gonna use the Robertson Duck Dynasty family as an illustration. Of course, we're gonna have some fun as we go after it. So let's actually dive in to the series. And I wanna start with two family truths that you can see in every Duck Dynasty episode, and also I think you can relate to. The first family truth is this: dysfunction happens. Have you noticed that in family? Dysfunction happens, doesn't it? You don't even have to work at it. It just arrives. It shows up without even being invited. You don't have to work at dysfunction. It just happens. Can we get a show of hands? Anyone want to get honest at church today? Dysfunction happens in a family. And some of you are sitting there and going, yeah, it's because of the person sitting right next to me. Of course it happens. As a matter of fact, why don't you say to that person, dysfunction happens with you. That's right. Isn't that fun? Now say back to that person, and also with you. Dysfunction happens in every family. Because every family has some dysfunction. I remember when I first figured this out. My wife and I got married while we were in college. And we knew we would be poor, but for some like dumb reason, we thought it was gonna be amazing. I remember saying, we're gonna be poor and it's gonna be romantic. And that's kind of what we thought about it. We were dumb, I know. It was a terrible idea. We got married and we were so poor together. And let me tell you, romance didn't happen. Dysfunction happened. With all that pressure and all that immaturity, it was bad. So bad that we decided we probably should join a small group down at the church because we needed help. And we did get help, just not in the way that we thought we were gonna get help. We went to join this young married small group, and during the first session, we heard all the other couples talk about their dysfunction. And it was awesome, because we were the healthiest family in the group. We love small group. As a matter of fact, within a couple weeks, they invited us to become leaders, and we became the leaders of the small group in a few weeks. I don't know that we even helped anybody, but it was incredibly therapeutic for us. Dysfunction happens. Some families try to hide it, but the Robertsons have turned it into a weekly TV show. If you watch Duck Dynasty, in every episode, you'll see some kind of dysfunction happens. It's part of what we love about watching Duck Dynasty. As a matter of fact, we found about a 90-second clip of some of our favorite dysfunction moments, and we thought we would let you enjoy some Duck Dynasty. You've never seen Duck Dynasty. You're about to get a taste of it now. Let's enjoy 90 seconds of watching dysfunction happen.
Bar in the hole.
Pretty scary, huh?
Fire it up!
Come on!
I've done my job here today. I don't like meat from the grocery store. It makes me nervous. Oh!
This is stupid. This whole thing is stupid.
You're kin to me!
Stupid!
He just peed on me.
I'm fixing to go crazy redneck up in here.
My word.
Hey, Willie.
Willie.
Hey, Willie.
I just had an idea.
He's ADDD.
Oh, there it went.
Hey, Willie.
What you doing?
Did he drink a 12-pack before he came out today?
Yeah!
Hallelujah! You got him. You got him first shot.
Isn't that fun to watch? I think I could watch something like that all day. Dysfunction happens. Free of charge, without any work, it just happens. It's the nature of family. It's our first family truth. It leads us to our second family truth, which is kind of the opposite. That dynasty takes work. If dysfunction just happens, don't even have to work at it, then family dynasty is going to take some work. If we're going to build our families and the dynasties, we need to know it's going to take some work. The Robertsons have figured out something that we need to figure out if this series is going to make any sense to us. Family dynasty takes work. One of the ways to even think about this series is to think of it as four works that you're going to need to do to build your family into a family dynasty. The work of pause, rewind, fast forward, and play. Every Duck Dynasty episode ends with the Robertson family doing the work of building their family dynasty. Every episode ends with them around a table praying, while Willie reflects on whatever they learned during that episode. Let's enjoy about a 30-second clip of them and watch how the very first Duck Dynasty episode ends.
Father, we thank you for another good day on planet Earth. We do thank you for these good fish you blessed us with. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Dig in.
Nobody drives us crazy like our own family. They're odd. They push our buttons. They're the source of our biggest frustrations, but also our greatest joy. It's not always going to run smoothly, and we're not always going to agree. But in the end, we're a family first and a business second.
Isn't that cool to see a family gathered together for prayer? Next week, we're going to talk about the importance of having a family meal together on a regular basis. But for this week, let's just say that what we see happening around that table is a microcosm of what happens in the rest of the family life. They're doing the work of building their family dynasty. And today, I want to talk about the very first work we have to do to build our family dynasty. I want to talk about the pause. or said more fully, the pause for family prayer. The pause for what? The pause for what? All right. Still not that excited, but okay, I'll give it to you. If we're going to build our family dynasty, then we're going to have to learn how to pause for family prayer. And I know that many of you in your families, you already do this. It's already kind of in the rhythm of your family to pause for family prayer. If so, this message should be an encouragement for you to just kind of keep on keeping on with what you're doing. But if this is not in the rhythm of your family, then this message today is designed to convince you that it should be. And so when you walk out of here, you're going to agree that you're going to build pause for family prayer into the new rhythm of your family for 2014. The way I'm going to convince you is I'm going to give you three ways that pausing for family prayer is going to help you build your family dynasty. But before we do that, I want you to know exactly what I mean by pause for family prayer. So I'm going to tell you some of the journey of my family and our pause for family prayer. So let's dive into that. It started in the very first year my wife and I were married. We had a friend who challenged us to pray every night before going to bed. And so we began to pray every night before bed. When we had our first daughter and then our second, we just kind of included them along. As they got old enough to pray, we would have them pray with us. Our children learned how to pray as we paused every night before family prayer. Now, 18 years into marriage, we have our oldest daughter, Megan, who's 17, our youngest daughter, almost 15, Morgan, and our family is crazy. We have sports and school and work and friends and just sometimes our whole family feels like it's moving in different directions, but we still manage to, on almost every night of the week, pause for family prayer. And let me tell you exactly what I mean. I don't want you to think it's some mystical, like, lights off and candles and incense and levitation or anything like that. It's not like that. It's really simple. When somebody says, hey, I'm ready to go to bed, let's pray, whoever says that will say, okay, let's stop. And we literally hit pause on whatever it is we're doing. So if we're watching TV or if we're doing homework or whatever it is we're doing, we'll just hit pause and then we'll pray. And when we get done, we'll hit play and go back to what we're doing. And that's what we did. We paused for family prayer. Listen, most often, it's not anywhere near 5 minutes. It's much shorter than that. Sometimes we have only one of us pray. Sometimes we have all of us pray. If there's something going on in our family that naturally would cause us to pray more, we do. If not, then we don't. It's really not complicated, but we are very consistent. Rarely do we miss a night of family prayer. As a matter of fact, if I'm out of town on business or whatever, then I'll try to call in and we'll put me on speakerphone and pray for the family. If one of the girls is gonna spend the night or friends or what have you, then we will pause and pray before they leave. If we have friends over, then they're just part of the family and they're gonna pray along with us. If my wife and I are fighting, we still pray. I just pray that she will see how right I am. This is how, that's how I do it. No, I'm kidding. That's a terrible idea. Don't do that. Just have the children pray. That's what you do when you're fighting. You just have the kids pray. It's really not that complicated. And so it's not that complicated, but we're very consistent. And here's what I want to point out. As simple as that seems, we're talking about less than 5 minutes every day. Both my wife and I agree that pause for family prayer has been the most important and powerful thing that we've done to build our family into a family dynasty. And that's why I'm so pumped to try to convince you that you need to do the same thing. Pause for family prayer. So I'm gonna give you three ways. Are you guys ready to be convinced? All right, because I'm gonna give my best shot at convincing you. And you got, it's in your teaching notes there. You'll see it at the bottom of the screens. And here we go. First, pausing for family prayer centers your home on Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. It's page 1184 in your Worship Center Bible. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, feel free to take the one under your seat, make it your own. Love that to be our gift to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's look at what happens to every member of your family every time you pause for family prayer. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. See, every time you pause for family prayer, in every member of your family, it sets your hearts and minds on things above, on Christ. And if you will build this into the rhythm of your family, then you will set and reset and set and reset your hearts and minds on Christ until Christ becomes the center of your home. And we need this kind of, we need a reset in our lives. All of us do, because without some kind of reset, we all become incredibly self-centered. Have you noticed that? Are you ever amazed at how self-centered you can be? Oh my, I am. I want to tell you a story that happened a couple years ago. I'm still amazed at how self-centered I was when this happened. We had friends that were traveling through Atlanta, so they stopped at our house and spent the night. And we had dinner with them. This is a nice couple, okay? We had dinner with them, and then we had dessert. My wife had made banana bread. And I noticed at the end of the dessert, there was only one piece of banana bread left. And I wanted this piece of banana bread for the next morning when I could get up and have my coffee with the banana bread while I did my Bible study. And so I set the banana bread aside. Really, I hid it from everyone else. That's what that means, okay? And in the morning, I woke up before everyone else, and I went and I got out this banana bread. And I took the banana bread and I put it in the microwave because it's better warm, right? And I put a wet paper towel over it so that the moisture would remain. Like, you get what I'm saying? I really, really wanted this piece of banana bread. That's what I'm getting at. And while it was microwaving, one of our guests came downstairs and she hung out in the kitchen. And I got the banana bread out of the microwave and I started lathering butter on the banana bread, and it was melting into the banana bread like it should. And I noticed she was eyeballing my piece of banana bread. And I had a decision to make. Should I be a good host, which is the right thing, or should I eat my banana bread? I did the right thing, okay? Barely. But I gave her the banana bread. That's not what's amazing. I guess that's a little amazing, but what's really amazing is after I gave it to her and I saw her eating it, I became incredibly mad at her. So mad. Listen, I promise you, I literally had to excuse myself because I was fuming, and I went up, okay, I went up to my prayer room and I literally shook in anger at this lady. I remember, I growled over this. And listen, I promise you this happened, a tear. I shed a tear over a piece of banana bread before. And I was so mad. Do you know why? Because that piece of banana bread was mine. And she took it. And all of us can be like this if we don't have some kind of reset. Left to our own devices, all of us are self-centered like that. It's my time. It's my money. These are my needs, my space, my preferences, my day, mine. All of us are just like that. And here's the problem. You cannot build a family dynasty with self-centered people. You can't do it. All self-centered people can do is build more and more and more dysfunction. If you don't believe me, then just watch every other reality show besides Duck Dynasty. Because that's pretty much what you see on every episode. Just a bunch of incredibly self-centered people and all the dysfunction that it creates. That's why you love to watch them. But when you pause for family prayer, you begin to center your home, not on yourself, but on Christ. And you reset something that's easy to forget that you have to remember if you're gonna build a dynasty. That life isn't even about you, it's about Him. And that all these things, my time, my preferences, those aren't yours, they're His. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to take some time and effort and work. But if you will pause for family prayer, you will make Christ the center of your home. And let's not forget that Christ and his dynasty is the only real dynasty that's gonna last forever. Isn't that true? It's the only dynasty that's gonna last forever. He came to this earth and lived a sinless life, and then he died for the sins of us all in humanity, and then he was raised to life, overcame the grave, and now he sits in glory. His dynasty lasts forever. And when you set your home on him, you are setting up every member of your family to share in his eternal dynasty. And all of it begins with pause for family prayer. It's that big of a deal. That's why I'm trying to convince you. I hope you're convinced. If not, I got a second point. Not only does it center your home on Christ, but number two, when you pause for family prayer, it makes God normal at home. Oh, this is huge. It makes God normal at home. You know, as parents, we have an incredible responsibility. We get to decide for our children what they think is normal. It's one of the most important things we do is set normal for them. And you know, you're either blessing or betraying your children by what you said is normal for them. When I was learning to swim, my mom, being European as she was, taught me that the very best swimsuits to swim in, you see where I'm going with this, don't you? Yes, it's true, that's what's gonna happen. She said that the normal swimsuits that all the other kids wore were kind of clunky and they would slow me down, and that the very best swimsuits for a young boy like me were Speedos. And so I believed her and I grew up wearing Speedos. They were normal to me. I didn't even notice that I was the only one in the pool in Speedos until the seventh grade pool party. No, it's okay, because I was in middle school, so I was totally confident and secure in myself, and my mom was setting me up for the big win in life, wasn't she? So here's what happened at the pool party. I showed up with my shorts just like every other boy there, but underneath my shorts, I had something that none of the other boys had. I had Speedos. And when it became time to swim, everyone else jumped in the pool. And I stood at the side of the pool and I bust down my shorts to reveal the Speedos, right? And it was like the party stopped. No. It was like time stopped, okay? It did not help that a mom saw this happen from inside the house. And this mom yelled out through the back window, "Woohoo, look at those Speedos!" So everyone saw. And it was about then that I realized, as I scrolled through my memory banks of being in pools over the years, that I was the only one I had ever seen, and that these Speedos were not normal. And it was then that I knew that mom betrayed me. She made Speedos normal for me. That was not okay. See, as parents, you get to set normal for the kids. All kinds of things, eating habits, sleeping patterns, relational things, all these things you set normal, and you're blessing them or betraying them by what you said is normal, and that's never more true than when it comes to God. Pausing for family prayer makes God normal. Here's what I mean. When God is normal in your home, he comes up in normal conversation. You talk about God and faith and scripture like you talk about everything else in your life that's important. He just comes up. You talk about him. This is perhaps more important than you would ever realize. Listen to this truth. One of the most powerful things that you can do as a parent to see your children embrace faith in Jesus is to make God normal at home. To make it normal in your house to talk about God. Now listen, we go to a great church, don't we? 12 Stone is a great church, and it's important that your family would go to a great church and that your kids would experience that, and that's good. And we have great student ministries, and my kids love them, and it's important that your kids would be involved in them, and we have great small group ministries, we have great serving opportunities. It's important that your family does all of those things, but what I'm saying to you is it's not enough. That it's not gonna pass faith if you don't also make God normal in your conversation at home. And that if the things that are happening here that are so great don't also happen in your living room, it's not enough. and the conversations that happen here, if they don't also happen, parents, with you and your kids in your living room, it's not enough. The Jewish people understood this. In the book of Deuteronomy, let me set the stage. They're coming out of Egypt after the waters part, and they're going into the promised land, but they're not there yet. That's when the book of Deuteronomy was written. And they're very concerned with building a dynasty because they want to make sure that when they get into the promised land, that their faith continues for the next generation. And so much of the book of Deuteronomy is just Moses telling them how to pass faith to their children. Now listen to what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It'll be on the screens. I'll read it for us. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home. When you sit where? At home. When you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. See, the Jewish people wanted to make sure their faith was passed to their children, and so they were sure to make God normal at home. Parents, listen. One of the most powerful things you can do to pass faith to your children, to make sure that they embrace Jesus, is make God normal at home. And there is no more direct and simple way to do this than to establish a pause for family prayer into the rhythm of your house. Do you realize that prayer, family prayer, is the most practical way that your family practices faith? There's something incredible that happens when children see their dad say, come together, kids, we're gonna pray. When they see their mom say, come on, kids, let's gather up for prayer. There's something powerful that happens when your children watch you close your eyes and begin talking to God. It's dynasty building. If you will do it enough, then God will be normal at home. He will come up in normal conversations. You will talk about him when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. And you will have made God normal to your children, and you'll have blessed them. Here's what my wife and I learned. If you will bless your children in this way, then your children are gonna bless you back by the kind of life that they live. My youngest daughter, Morgan, last year at her 14th birthday party, she had some friends over for the party, and we overheard one of the friends saying to some others, you know, I wouldn't have become a Christian if it wasn't for Morgan. And then we heard another one say, yeah, me too, and another one say, yeah, me too. And so later we called Morgan aside and we said, Morgan, how does that happen? Like, we didn't even know about it. How did it happen? And she said, well, we just, you know, hang out at school and I'll just be talking and God will come up because God's normal to her. And she said, you know, God will come up and eventually they'll say, I want to come to your church. And so they'll come to the church. And this is what she said, okay, these are her words. And they come to the church and they sit during worship and then they cry and then the next thing you know, they get baptized. We counted 4 children coming to Christ last year that way from my daughter Morgan. Actually, 5. We counted 5 children. We recounted last night. There's 5 children who came to Christ that way. That's unbelievable, isn't it? That's powerful. See, if you will bless your children in a way, they will bless you back by the life they lived. And listen, that's what it looks like when you're building a family dynasty. That's why I'm trying to convince you need to do this. It centers your home on Christ and it makes God normal at home. And those are big deals. Let's talk about the third one. The last way that pausing for family prayer is gonna help you build your family dynasty is it unleashes God's power in your home. Let's not forget that when you pray, God actually is listening and he hears and he answers your prayers. Prayer unleashes God's power. When you pray, you know, when you pause for family prayer, it unleashes into your living room the same power that raised Christ from the dead. And that's an incredible thing. You know, my children, I won't spend too much time on this, but listen, my children have seen dozens of family prayers actually answered. And it does something powerful, dynasty building, to their faith and to their belief in the power of prayer. My oldest daughter, Megan, when she was 7 years old, so this is 10 years ago, had a friend over to spend the night. It was a Friday night. And while they were talking, Megan found out that this girl's parents had been, you know, had just got separated and they were headed to divorce. And this girl was obviously distraught over this. And Megan looked at her and she said, well, it's not over yet. Let's pray together. And so they prayed together, and my daughter Megan came up with this idea, a strategy. She said, when you go home, which would be Saturday, she said, I want you to act bad, like misbehave and cry and just be generally a problem for your mom. And when your mom asks you why you're doing it, say that you're going to behave that way until you and dad sit next to each other during a church service. That was the plan. My kid's out of her mind. I know she is. That was the plan. And this kid went home that Saturday and executed the plan flawlessly. And it worked. And they came to our church that next morning. Parents met up and came to church. And they sat and they listened to Pastor Kevin deliver a message that was called, If Your First Commitment Fails, Recommit. And they walked out of that service crying, agreeing by the time they got into the car to move back in together. They moved back in that Sunday, and they've been together for the last 10 years. It's a big deal. That's right. Now listen, where did my daughter Megan get the idea that prayer could do something like that? Well, we pause for family prayer almost every night. She knows something about prayer that many of us need to remember. That prayer unleashes God's power. I want to talk to a few of you, because surely there are some of you in here that you're not thinking about building a family dynasty. You're just wondering if your family's going to continue. You know, you're on the verge of collapsing. And you're in a tough spot and struggling. I want to talk to you for a second. Maybe God brought you here to hear this message, just like God brought that couple to hear that message. And maybe you need to say to each other what my daughter said to her friend. It's not over yet. Let's pray together. And listen, if God is tapping on your shoulder right now, and you know that I'm talking to you, then obey him. As you get out of the parking lot, as you're driving, say to each other, it's not over yet. Let's pray together. And I'm not saying that, you know, that's going to be easy, but it will unleash a powerful force on your marriage and in your family and in your home. And as you pray together, you're going to see that you become centered more on Christ and left less on self. And that's going to help you. And then God is going to become a normal part of the conversation, and God will unleash his power. It is an incredibly powerful thing to do this. And it all begins with pause for family prayer. We all need it. All right, those were my three ways that pausing for family prayer is going to help you build your family dynasty. And that was my best attempt to convince you that you need to pause for family prayer and build this into the rhythm of your family. I want to talk to a couple groups of you. First, if you're still unconvinced, well, I'm totally sorry. That was the best that I had, all right? Maybe next week, you know, come back. Maybe next week the service will hit you better. If you're already doing this, then that was just an encouragement. Keep on keeping on. You know that everything I said today was true because it's happening in your family also. If you are now convinced and you know what to do, then do it. Begin to pause for family prayer and watch as your family becomes a family dynasty. But if you're sitting there and going, okay, I'm convinced I want to do this, I just don't know how, like, where do I even begin? I'm glad you asked, because I want to talk to you for a second. I have three statements at the bottom of our notes that are just for you. Let's talk about them. Keep it simple. Be consistent. Start today. If you don't know where to begin in this, keep it simple. Be consistent. Start today. Let me unpack that real quick. Here's what I mean by keep it simple. Don't make it complicated. You heard how my wife and I do. We're talking about 5 minutes or less. just one of you in your family say, hey, let's pray together, and then gather up and then pray together. And if you don't know what to pray together, I still thought of you. I put a couple prayers that to start you at the bottom of your notes. And so have the first person, you know, go through each of them one at a time. So the first person says, God, thank you for, and tell God what you're thankful for. And then the next person tells God what they're thankful for, and go through the whole family, and then come back and say, God, I need help with, tell God what you need help with. And then the whole family does it. You know what I've learned is you're either thankful for something, and if you're not thankful, then you need help. So one or the other is gonna work out for you. I thought of all of you. Just keep it simple. Start there and see what happens. By be consistent, I mean to do what the Robertsons every night, right? In Duck Dynasty, it ends with family prayer. It's simple and it's consistent. And do that same thing. Just be consistent. I think there are three times during the day that most families could build pause for family prayer into the rhythm of their family. The first is in the morning before anyone leaves for anywhere. If that's the right time for you, then pause for family prayer at that time. Or you could do it like the Robertsons at the dinner table. If that's when it works for you, at the dinner table, pause for family prayer. Or it could be like my family, right before bed, pause for family prayer. But whatever time you set, keep it. Build it into the rhythm of your family. If you miss, come back to it. And finally, start today. Here's what I mean. Don't let too much time pass between when you heard this message and when you actually start. This is a powerful thing, but it's only powerful if you do it. Like every sermon, there's no power in hearing it. There's only power in doing it. This can help you build a dynasty, but you're gonna have to actually pause for family prayer. Now, as I hand this over to the campus pastors, here's a couple questions I just wanna encourage you to ask yourself. When would be the right time for your family to build this into the rhythm of their house? And second, what would change if you pause for family prayer in your house? And finally, what would it look like for your family to become a family dynasty? Let's pause right here and let's pray at this campus. God, as we've been talking about pausing for prayer, it seems appropriate that we would pause for prayer as a church. Oh, Father, I pray for every family in this building that they would be convinced, that they would walk out of here. Not that that was a good message, but that they would actually begin to live it out, build this into the rhythm of their family, begin to become a family dynasty. I pray for families all over this church, God, that we would begin to center our homes on Christ as we pray, that we would begin to make God normal at home, that children would see parents praying, and that we would unleash your power in our houses, in our living rooms, all across this church. Oh, that would be a mighty thing. It would transform families. So we ask you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.